It's good to see everybody here this morning. We hope and trust you're here because you love God and you want to serve God. And we want to assist you with that. If you're visiting here, we are really appreciative that you've chosen to be with us, and we hope we can encourage you in your walk and journey with God. George wanted me to mention to the members here, and certainly even to the visitors, if you weren't here for Bible class, had a good study on the subject of alcohol and alcoholic beverages and what the Bible has to say about that. And so I'd like to encourage you, and the elders would like to encourage you to, it's been recorded on the website, is that correct? And so you're able to access that in audio, I guess, right now, is what we have. But anyways, if you'd like to know more about that topic, and we'd like to encourage you to want to know more about that topic, because we live in a world that does not understand that. So again, thank you for coming. Tonight, or today, what I want to talk about is a continuation of a lesson a couple of months ago that I brought. Let's see if we can get that going there. If you remember, a couple of months ago, we talked about the golden rule. And we kind of talked about where that came from. And what I want to do, and if some of you haven't heard this message, and so there's going to be a review, but for those of you that have heard this message, I can assure you we need to hear it again. I can tell you I need to hear it again. Because what God has to say in answering the question of the greatest commandments, and we find that up here in Matthew 22, and let's go ahead and turn there. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Or verse 34, starting off in verse 34, it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?'" We have this up on the screen. You have it in your Bible. Verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then verse 40, very powerful statement. God says this: "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now just stop there just for a minute, and we're going to look at three other places in the Bible where this talks about this, and the description tied to it. In this case, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If you have an ESV, it says "depend all the law and the prophets." The bottom line is, and this is a bottom line statement, isn't it? This is what's important to God. And if you'll notice in the question, the lawyer asked him, "Which is the greatest commandment?" He didn't give him one, did he? He gave him two. And because he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it." Is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I want to suggest to you, I've been pondering this for some time. Still pondering it, still growing, trying to understand what God wants for me. And I want to share that with others as well. We'll talk more why we do that. But I believe God is telling us, you can't love him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul until you learn to love your neighbor as yourself. You can't. And I also believe, he's saying here, that you'll never be able to love your neighbor as yourself until you learn to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. They're inseparable. This tells us something about our God. The second commandment, you're telling me, is to love my neighbor as myself. That's, God is telling us the way he is. We learn about God from this, that he loves people. He loves the souls of all people. He wants everyone to be saved. And he wants me to be like him. And so everything in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I think I can state and say from Genesis to Revelation, everything that's here, the whole scheme of redemption, the whole gospel plan, all of it, is about us loving God with our heart, mind, and soul, and loving our neighbors, ourselves. And of course, in doing this, that we can go and be at home with him one day in eternity. But we need to recognize that we need both of these. They're very important, and we're going to look at some scriptures which bring that out. In Mark chapter 12, let's flip over there. Again, this is some review, but it's review that we need. And let me say this too. One reason I'm bringing this up today again, as we contemplate the idea of loving God with my heart, mind, and soul, and loving my neighbor as myself, here we are at the end of 2018. Now, a year ago at this time, we were all looking forward to 2018, weren't we? Now, we didn't know if it was going to make it, because we don't know if it was at that time it was going to come, like we don't know if 2019 is going to come. We don't know that. We don't have that fact. We expect it. We're planning for it. Many of you already have plans. Many of you are making 2019 New Year's resolutions. We all do that, don't we? I made a bunch of them. And you know what? At the end of this lesson, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more. When you look at those New Year resolutions, if they're all about me, and usually in my past, that's the way it was, I'm going to lose some weight, and I've learned that I'm not going to be generic. My wife is smiling over here. That I'm not going to be generic about it. I'm going to lose weight in 2019. No. I put down, and I record this, this is what I weighed on January 1st, and this is how much I'm going to lose. That's a personal thing. It's a physical, secular thing. And I'm going to miss my goal this year in 2018, although I have lost some weight. And I bring that up, though, to mention that that's a personal thing. Nothing wrong with that. But if all my goals are all about me and my physical self, where does that fit in these two great commandments with loving God with all my heart, mind, and soul, and loving my neighbor as yourself? So I'd like to encourage you to think about this. And if you're one of these, and I know some of you are because you've told me that you're going to set 2019 goals, that you would set your goals so that you can fulfill the two greatest commandments, loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul. So there ought to be some spiritual goals there, right? That connect with me loving God. And you'll notice in these two great commandments, it doesn't say anything about faith. Faith is terribly important, right? And yet it's not there. But it's implied, isn't it? Because you can't love God. You can't love someone you don't believe in. And so it's there. It's just not specifically mentioned. Faith, of course, comes very close to this. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in just a minute. In Mark 12... it said, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Lord, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He adds one. This is the first commandment. The second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. No question. So the scribe said to him in verse 32, well said. He's actually commending Jesus. Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. It's more than everything. Jesus saw that he answered wisely. He said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one dared question him. You are not far from the kingdom of God. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. These are things that God is telling us about how critical this is. And I hope when you leave today that you will realize this is extremely critical. And what really I need to be doing if I'm going to set New Year's resolutions, I've got to be asking myself, are these things happening in my life? Or do I find myself drifting further away from God? Do I find, you know, I want to serve God, I want to love God, but I don't want anything to do with other people. I just don't want to. I'm not comfortable with that. That's moving me out of my comfort zone. That's not going to happen. Well, the truth is, most of us don't want to be moved out of our comfort zone. And the truth is, we're uncomfortable sometimes, especially in a minute when we talk about our neighbor and who our neighbor is. We're a little uncomfortable with that. so be it. We need to move out of our comfort zone and do things that are uncomfortable, and they will become comfortable in time. In Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, you will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So this is the golden rule. This has been clothed. The Bible doesn't use that phrase. Man gave it that phrase. But I think as we study the scriptures, we'll find very appropriate phrase. "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets." Now, we need to understand that you see the action involved there, the positive action he's talking about there. Whatever you do to someone else, you want them to do it to you. And this is very positive. I made the comment last time about what some call the silver rule, which is don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. That's not unscriptural, really, but that's not what's being said here. And, of course, I've talked about some of the ways people live today. They've modified the teaching, "I'll do it to you before you do it to me." You know, that's a negative thing. And you've probably also heard the phrase, "those who have the gold rule." That's not the golden rule. But the golden rule, I want to tell you, when I sit here and look at this passage, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. I want to suggest to you, whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is you're going to do in 2019, if you're given that opportunity, if I'm given that opportunity, I need to be mindful of the golden rule, because this is important to God. It is the second greatest commandment. So the way I interact with you is critical to my salvation. It's critical. In fact, isn't it interesting in verse 12? Take another look at verse 12. I can't tell you if this is coincidental or not, but we're going to go to Luke 10, and I'm going to suggest to you it's not. In verse 12, it says, "Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And look at the next verse. Did Jesus change thoughts? "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." I believe this is part of the same teaching, that the golden rule is something essential for me and my salvation and my to have a right relationship with God. And what we're going to do in just a minute is we're going to make some application. We did this last time, but we're going to go to an area we didn't get to last time, which is called personal boundaries. We're going to talk a little bit about personal boundaries. Before we do that, one more place I want to turn to and about these scriptures, Romans 13. Romans 13 and verse 8. "Owe no one anything except to love one another." You ever pondered that verse? You mean I owe it to you to love you? That's what God says. That's what God says. "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law." In verse 9, "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now look at verse 10. "Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." You see, in the golden rule, loving your neighbor as yourself, if you're harming your neighbor, do you want your neighbor to harm you? Well, you don't. And so all these commandments up here, adultery and murder and stealing and bearing false witness and coveting, these are things you wouldn't want anybody to do to you. And it's just almost natural, really. But God has to teach us this. And God tells us these are not things that belong in our life. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So let's put it together. Four locations in the scriptures. You are not far from the kingdom of God, Jesus said, when he quoted the first and second commandment. Hang all the law and the prophets. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the fulfillment of the law. Now, I don't have time to spend a whole lot of time talking about how do we go about loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul. You need to ask that question. I do too. I need to ask that question. And I can tell you, this congregation here at downtown is all about this. And we have many lessons at times in different ways, I think, that are building up to this. In our goals that we had for 2018 and the goals we're going to have for 2019, it's all about this, and it should be, and you should want it to be. But just a couple of things I want to point out. You remember in John 14, 15, I'm not going to read all this, but in John 14, Jesus tells us how to love God. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You go, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that we're all about law-keeping? Well, the answer is yes. In one sense, we are. Yes, we are. Now, you know what the world says. No, no, no. Christianity has nothing to do with law-keeping. It does. The Son of God says it does. The Son of God says it's how you love me. But what we want to make sure we realize is he's not saying it's all about outwardly keep law-keeping and going through the motions and being a robot and your heart's not in it. No, that's not there. In fact, if we go back and read the whole chapter, you'll see it's there. But for sake of time, I'm not going to go there. But I am going to go somewhere else, somewhere that I go often. And you can call it a hobby on my part. My family will tell you all their life they heard it. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now the purpose of the commandment, yes, it's about law keeping, but there's a purpose. The purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Do I need to be told that? Is that something I've got to be told? Well, evidently I do, because in the next verse it says, from which some having strayed, some versions say swerved, having turned aside to idle talk, and on it goes. Oh, it's possible for me to be, quote, a religious person, spends time with the Word, but the Word is not about transforming me. It's not about changing me. It's about something else. It's about maybe just creating habits and a social status and tradition and all these things we could talk about that are external. Have nothing to do with the heart. So loving God does involve keeping the law. In 1 John 2, and let me say this, it's about letting the Word of God work on us the way God wants it to and change me to be what He wants me to be like His Son, to grow up in Christ. That's what it's about. And then in 1 John 2, in verse 15 and 17, this is all I'm going to say about loving God with our heart, mind, and soul. Verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And it looks like I'm missing a verse here, 15, 16. I don't know, I'm missing it here, but the passage, you can find it yourself. In the passages, it does say that you cannot love the world and love God. And this is the hardest one, probably for all of us. That's why I'm saying, you know, if that's true, that I can't love the world and love God, it actually the verse says the love of the Father is not in you if you love the world. And you'll need, and I too need to make application. Well, what does that mean? I got to live in this world, and I got to deal with this world. I got to work, and I've got to do all these things. How do I do that without loving it? Well, God teaches us how to do that. But God does say, I can't love the world and love him. So if we're going to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, we're going to have to make sure that I don't love the world. Therefore, now take a look at your calendar. Take a look at your checkbook. Take a look at your 2019 New Year's resolutions. Hopefully they're not all about the world and what I'm going to do in this world. And there's nothing there about God, because that suggests a serious issue that I need to fix personally. Some of these things are personal. I'm not going to make the judgment for you. You may see me taking steps in a direction away from all this that we're talking about, and I would hope you'd come to me and tell me that, because I want to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. And I had a discussion with the elders not too long ago, and I told them the truth. All my motives are, it's about going to heaven. It shouldn't take reaching 60 to think that way. Some of you are beyond that. But I know I don't have a lot of time left. And I was thinking about someone last night. I was watching something on TV, and a guy that was very young died right in front of all of his family. Had a heart attack. He died right in front of his family. You know what I said to myself? I said, you know, that guy was a ticking time bomb. Then I thought to myself, so am I. It's just I don't know when the time's going to go off. We all are. And so we need to be ready. We need to take this lesson very seriously. Make the proper application. However poor a job I do in delivering it, forget that. Put the emphasis in the Word of God and what God is saying. Now in Luke chapter 10, we're going to, you know, getting to this idea of loving my neighbor as myself. Wow. Jesus is going to give us a little definition. I'm not going to read the whole teaching here because I've got some application I want to make. But in Luke 10 and verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and testing him, saying, Teacher, now look at this question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And so now Jesus is going to go into the parable of the Good Samaritan. But I want to point out to you in Luke 10, he asked him, how do I go about getting eternal life? And he could have answered 1,000 ways. Well, you need to attend church every time you can. And that's true. That's actually true. But the reason we come to church on Sunday morning for Bible class and worship service and Wednesday night is we really can't get enough teaching to properly understand how I can go about loving God with all my heart, mind, and soul, and my neighbor as myself. I need all the help I can get, and 3 or 4 hours a week is not enough. And hopefully we're all doing our daily readings and that we've been doing. And I'm going to bring one out at the end of services, hopefully. I can remember to do it, that we just read a couple of days ago from Gary Henry's book. But Jesus connects eternal life with these commandments. Very, very important. All right. So let's see if this go on now. So if you remember last time, we looked at applying the golden rule. We talked about business. I'm not going to talk about that. But I'd like to, for those of you who have not, weren't here last time, in your business affairs, you need to do unto others as they would have you, as you would have them do unto you. In our speech, the things we talk about, whatever it is we say, whatever you want people to say about you, you do the same for them. And that's what he's bringing out. In spreading the gospel, I'm going to come back to that one at the end, Lord willing. Really, when I applied this passage to spreading the gospel, I'll tell you right now, I just have to confess, I'm falling way short. Because I can tell you, do unto others as you would have them do unto to yourself. I want to go to heaven. And if I'm wrong about something, and I can be, maybe right now, I may say something today that's not exactly scripturally appropriate, and I'd appreciate if you'd say that, if you'd tell me that, because I'm not... don't want to do that, but I could. And if I'm holding on to something that's not scripture or that's not right, or I have a practice that I'm doing that God's not pleased with, I would want to know about that. And so in our daily walk in life, we go out in the workplace, in the marketplace, in schools, wherever we go, and we're surrounded by people, and by their actions and their speech and all that they do, it's very clear they need some help. And we need to do something about that. And let me tell you, God expects me to do something about that, because the golden rule, loving your neighbor as yourself, doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you, is number two tied to number one, and they're inseparable. So I got to work on that. And then giving. We talked about giving, and especially in the area, you could go all direction with this, but especially your personal time to others. And then personal boundaries. I want to spend a couple of minutes on the personal boundaries. Now, we start talking about personal boundaries, we're talking about personal boundaries. And it's kind of important that we talk a little bit about sexual boundaries. Are there any? Well, God places some. We've already read some already in this lesson. And God teaches us one man for one woman for life. God teaches us in Hebrews 13, verse 4, that marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. God has something to say about sex and about men and women coming together in that way. And yes, we need to talk about it in the public assembly. I don't want to get graphic about it, but we need to talk about it. And I'm going to apply the golden rule a little bit. That's what I want to do. I don't know if we apply the golden rule here. What we'll do is we'll quote Matthew 5 and Matthew 19 and other places. There's the Word of God, and we'll just pound it and pound it. Obey, obey, obey. But how about we do it another way? How about we apply the golden rule? A single young lady who wants her husband to be a virgin needs to practice the same idea for herself. The golden rule does not allow for a double standard. You know, when I was thinking about this, and I crossed that, I go, whoa, you know, my wife has told me a few times in our 35, 36 years together that I had some double standards. You guys probably don't have that, but I had a few of them. Doesn't fit, does it? Double standards don't work. In any part of life, there should not be double standards. There's God's standard. And we apply by God's standard. We want our spouse, and I'm talking about spouses now, and we're moving into discussing the golden rule in our marriage relationship. Before you get married and then as you get married, it applies. And if you turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sorry, I don't know where I came up with that. 1 Corinthians 7. And let's read a few verses. I want you to think about marriage. I want you to think about the golden rule here. Husbands, wives, for those of you who are engaged, for those of you who are planning to be engaged and enter into marriage, critical that you hear what's being said here in 1 Corinthians 7. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Now verse 4, we don't understand it. We don't understand it. I don't know. The world certainly does understand it. I'm not sure if we all understand it completely. The wife does not have authority over her own body. Wow. When you enter a marriage, you need to understand what God has to say about that. But the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I'm not going to keep reading, but we could all the way through 16. But verse 4, think about this a little bit. Wait a minute. I don't have authority over my own body. Who says that? God says that. So that says, when I go and commit adultery, with someone. I don't have the right to do that in more ways than one. It's not even my own body. That's fraud. That's theft. It's so wrong. We can do it. How do we do it? Well, here's how we do it. We totally set God aside. We totally have set, we're not loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul at that moment in time. We're not even loving our neighbors, ourselves, whether we be talking about from, and I'm sorry, I moved on through Luke 10 too fast. But if you remember in Luke 10, Jesus, his story about the Good Samaritan was that our neighbor is everyone, and it includes my spouse. Every person that I come into contact falls under the heading of my neighbor. My brethren here that I worship with, those in the community, people I don't know. That's the real story, right, in the Good Samaritan. Even my enemy all falls under the category of neighbor. And so in this case, in verse 4, I don't have authority over my own body. If I go and commit adultery with another person, I'm certainly not practicing the golden rule with my wife, but I'm not practicing the golden rule with the other person either. Because I'm sending them to hell if we stay in that condition. And we do that, and God doesn't want us to do that. If we'll think like that, our whole behavior changes. It's changing me. I hope you can see that. I've made some changes in the last couple of years. I'm not done. I'm a work in progress, and the truth is I'll probably never get there. Thank God for the mercy of God, right? And God's mercy will be extended to me if I try. And I'm going to try, and I hope you are too. If God gives us 2019, I'm going to try to make it a better year. One preacher said it this way. Some of you may know who said this. Be a one-woman man with your eyes, your thoughts, and your body. Let me say it again. We all need to hear this. Make application. Be a one-woman man. This is for men. Reverse for women. Be a one-woman man with your eyes, your thoughts, and your body. Job said that, didn't he? And I made a covenant with my eyes in Job 31, verse 1. Now, making some application, why would I do that? Well, because of the golden rule. Because God wants me to. Because I don't want to hurt anybody. Love does no harm to his neighbor. And so when I start talking about modesty, for example, boy, what a controversial subject. Kind of like alcohol, isn't it? They don't have to be. They don't have to be. Really, they don't. How short of shorts can you? I'm not here to tell you what the answer to that. I'm here to tell you something different. Apply the golden rule. How short should your shorts be? You know the school systems understood that. I don't know where they are now. I used to be a public school teacher. And you know that I was bound as part of my job if a student came in with shorts too short, and y'all remember how we measured it? The old dollar bill. Y'all remember that? You stretch out the dollar bill this way, and the bottom of it touched the top of the knee, and if the shorts didn't touch that dollar bill, they were going home. How in the world did the world know about that? They understood some principles. They knew that. The way I dress, when I get up in the morning and I look at the mirror, I don't like doing that too much anymore, but when I do and I put on my clothing, hopefully my clothing is going to send a proper message to everyone I come in contact with. And I in no way want to distract somebody with that. Very, very important. This is the golden rule with personal boundaries. Now, a few more applications, and we're going to close. We're talking about husband and wives here. Could apply a lot of places. Entertainment. In 2018, look back on 2018 and think about entertainment. Nothing wrong with entertainment. There's a place for it. We don't spend our lives just doing that, entertaining ourselves. I'm not suggesting we should. But there's a place for it. The scriptures actually teach it. And we kind of break down entertainment. We could talk about eating out. We could talk about going to the movies. We could talk about going shopping, right? You know, guys, we struggle with that, and our wives don't. It's just that way. The golden rule. Golden rule, I've been working on it. My wife knows. I'll go with her. I mean, I can hang with her in the store the whole time. Fortunately, a lot of places have benches outside, and I go out there. But seriously, I'm really getting serious about it. There are things my wife loves to do that I don't necessarily love to do. There's things I love to do that she doesn't necessarily love to do. And as a couple, as one, we learn to do together these things. And that's the golden rule. I'm doing unto others as they would have me do unto, as they would do unto me, as I'd have them do unto me. And guys, I'll tell you right now, when I married my wife, I loved sports. If it had a ball in it, man, I was there. Whether it was I was actually physically playing or whether I was watching it on TV, I loved it. And little by little over the years, I just had to give that up. First of all, God asked me to. Nothing wrong with sports. Nothing wrong with sports, right? But sports isn't number one. It's got to be a back burner to things that are very, very important. And the kingdom of God comes way ahead of sports. They've got to take a back seat. And so sports, hunting, fishing, and when we consider family obligations and burdens that the family has, husbands and wives need to take these burdens on together, and the golden rule needs to be considered. Wives, you know, husbands go to work every day. Oftentimes, many of you wives stay home. Some of you don't. But the ones that do stay home and have children, little children, when is the break time? When is the weekend? When is the off time? When is vacation? Husbands need to understand that. I tell you, a good marriage is a marriage where husbands learn to understand that, and especially in the pew, that we don't just make the wives take care of the children, that they can actually observe the Lord's Supper too. We want that. And you know, all of us, we want that. Sometimes when a spouse comes in with her three or four kids and her husband's out of town, and I know some of you do this, I've seen some of you do this, you go sit with them and you help. That's the golden rule. You understand what's going on there, and you care about them, and you want them to be able to worship too. These kind of things we need to make application on. Family obligations and responsibilities. Husbands and wives can help each other in these areas, and I want to encourage you to do that. Lastly, we're going to go back to personal evangelism, Matthew chapter 13. We're going to close with this. And this is one, Gary Henry dealt with this a couple of days ago. And I've read this before. You've read it before. The parable of the hidden treasure, Matthew 13, verse 44. But I want to leave y'all with this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid it, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. And then he uses the example of a merchant seeking a beautiful pearl who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Let's go back to the first one. Imagine walking out in the field. Evidently, it's for sale. And evidently, to get the treasure, you've got to buy the field. You're not just going to pick it up and put it in your pocket. That's not going to happen. And evidently, it's so expensive that the only way you're going to get this thing is you're going to have to sell everything you've got, all of it, everything, and go and get that. Now, God's teaching us this is exactly the way it is about discovering Him and coming to Him and being saved. Whatever it is it takes, we're going to do it all. Now, in this parable, what's interesting is that he hid it. And I was trying to make some application. You ever done that? You ever done something like that? You probably have, maybe, going to a resale shop and you found something sitting on a shelf and that thing. I have a friend that's really, he understands gold quickly. And he'll go in there and there'll be a little ring and you think it's just a little piece of inexpensive nothing. And it's a very, very expensive gold ring. Imagine going to a store like that, and there it is, you see it, and you go to your wallet, and you don't have your wallet. You can't buy it. You don't want anybody else to find it, so you hide it. You kind of stick it back behind somewhere on the shelf, hoping that when you get back, it's going to be there. Because you don't want anybody to find it. This is personal now. This is self-preservation. That's what's going on here. Nothing wrong with this, by the way. You've got to take care of yourself first, because if you don't, you can't take care of anybody else. That's what he's saying here. And you know, in the same chapter, after all these years of looking at this, I just discovered verse 22 in the same chapter of Matthew 13. In the parable of the sower, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I want to assure you about that guy in verse 44. That didn't happen. All that stuff had to go. It had to go. And so it is with us. If we're going to let things get in our way with God, they got to go. And in 2019, and you might not can let it all go at once. And maybe, you know, I have to be honest. I tell you, I've told y'all, I don't mind confessing, I've been too busy the last number of years, and I'm letting go of a lot of things, and I have to. It's not an option. I have to. It's taken time. Not happening overnight. But I'm on the road of letting things go so I can do this, so I can be what God wants me to be. I hope you'll do the same. Don't be like the guy in verse 22. Don't let this world get you so bogged down that it chokes the word out of you. It would be like this guy, he went to this field and he found this priceless item in the field, and he went home to get his money, and he got so distracted, he never made it back. And then he died. And that treasure just stayed in the field. That's what it'd be like. That happens. You go, well, wait a minute now. What does this have to do with the golden rule? Well, we want others to discover this treasure. This is where it becomes a little unnatural. If you go to that antique store and you find that treasure, you're taking it home and you're putting it in your safe. It's yours. Right? But the golden rule says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so, where that man hid that treasure in verse 44, take a look at Matthew chapter 5. God says, don't do that. You might do it for a moment. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. It's not that you're letting your works shine because you want to be seen of men. That's wrong. But don't go to the other extreme and say, man, I don't want to be guilty of being seen of men, therefore I'm not going to let anybody see me do anything. That's not the answer either, is it? Because we want other people to glorify God just like we do. If you're in the audience right now and you're not a child of God, we want you to understand what we're talking about here. We want you to realize you have. Whether you realize it or not, whether we all realize it or not, we have found something in this Bible. We have found God. We have found His Son. We have found His mercy. We have found salvation. And it's worth more than the whole world. You could go into any antique store anywhere in the world. You couldn't find anything worth more. You can't do it. And so we want to encourage you to believe that. And you may go, man, that guy's nuts. Well, maybe I do sound like that. But if you'll give it a little bit of time, you'll look at this word a little closer. You'll find that's not the case. This is the real deal. God says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's the priceless treasure. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is your treasure. That's not Church of Christ doctrine. It's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. If you're subject to his calling, we ask you to come. We stand and sing the invitation song.